If you look at verse number 11, but when Peter was come to Antioch, I, the Apostle Paul, withstood him to the face because he was to be blamed. Now, if you look at this passage and you think about this just for a second, God uses Paul, the apostle of the Gentiles, to correct Peter, the apostle of the Jews. You say, why would you say that? Because many people are taught that Peter was the first pope. And that's, did you know the word pope is nowhere found in your Bible? It has never been there. There's not even a word that's pope, abbot, nun, bishop, bishops in there, excuse me, abbey, all the funny words that are used to describe titles in some churches. It's nowhere found in the Bible. And many think that Peter was the first pope, and that's nowhere in the Bible. Here, Peter gets corrected. Peter is corrected and said, you're teaching, he is told, you're teaching wrong. And Paul said, I had to correct Peter in front of everybody because of what he was teaching. Peter was not the first pope, nor is there any such thing except in some churches. The word, now look down at verse number 21. Look at verse 21, and this is our text for this morning. I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness or salvation come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. I'll come back to this in just a minute, but the word frustrate means to deprive of effect. It means to reject as useless. It means to disappoint. It means literally to neutralize or counteract. And if you read it with that, I do not neutralize or counteract or reject as useless the grace of God. How do you do that? By the next two statements there in the verse. Now, think with me just for a second, and we'll come back to that. Are you ready? There are so many beautiful verses in the Bible that show the simplicity that is in the Lord Jesus Christ and the free gift of salvation. Getting saved is easy for us because it was hard for the Son of God. He went through and He suffered for us. Getting saved is many times, I like what one preacher said, what I'm getting ready to tell you about salvation is so simple, some of you will miss it. Because you'll try to make something out of it that it's not. All of us are taught there's no free lunches, you get what you pay for, and if it's free, it's not worth anything. And all of us are taught that, and that mentality blocks many times. Heaven is free. Getting saved is a free gift. And many think, wait a second, if it's free, then it can't be worth anything. No, wait a second, that's not true with salvation. That's not true with salvation. The simplest verses concerning salvation and being saved are in the book of John. The book of the Bible that God wrote to tell the whole world how to be saved. You say, are you sure? John 20 verse 30 says, many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of His disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. God wrote Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. The book of John is written to show people how to get saved. God plainly says, many things Jesus did, but these are written so that you can get saved. So the book of John is very important. Did you know in the book of John, believe on me, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. Those phrases, believe and everlasting life, is found over 70 times in 22 chapters. The word believe means to depend upon. It means to trust. Listen to this morning. Psalm 116 says this, what shall I render unto the Lord for all His benefits toward me? Psalm 116:13 says, I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. God, how can I pay you back for all that you've done for me? And God says, there's nothing you can do except get saved. You can't pay me back. How do you pay God back for all He's done? You can't. God just says, I make salvation available for you. Now trust me. I read John chapter 6, verse 28. Listen closely. Then said they unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? John 6:29 says, Jesus answered and said unto them, "This is the work of God, that ye believe on Him whom He hath sent." What's the one thing you can do? There's only one thing you can do to get saved, and that's believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You can't do anything else. You can't get baptized 15 times or read your Bible through 3 times or help 15 people that are starving or visit people. You can't. The work of God is this, that you believe on Him whom He hath sent. That is salvation. Very simple. Can you take your Bible and go to Matthew chapter 7? I want to show you this morning. Very sobering piece of Scripture, but Matthew chapter 7. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Matthew chapter 7, and look at verse number 21. Our Savior taught us that very clearly that everyone who is religious is not going to heaven. Religion will not get you to heaven. The word religion, if you ever look up the definition, it means a set way of doing something. You can be religious about, and you should be, ladies, about changing the oil on your car. All right? It should be done at certain specific... It takes gas and oil to run the... Okay, never mind. What I'm trying to tell you is religion will send people to hell. Religion is a set way of doing anything. And Jesus plainly teaches us here, there are going to be many people who are religious who are going to be in hell. And this is a very sobering section. Watch this. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. Watch this. "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." Now you're there, and it sounds like, oh, so if you do the will of the Father, then you'll enter into heaven. Well, real quickly, look at me. John 6:40 says this, "This is the will of Him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on Him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day." That's the will of the Father. Jesus isn't saying if you will live your life in the will of God that you get saved eventually. He is saying if you will trust Jesus, that is the will of the Father, that you trust Him only to take you to heaven. Now look at Matthew 7, 22. Watch this. "Many will say to me in that day." Many. What a word. "Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in Thy name? And in Thy name cast out devils, and in Thy name done many wonderful works?" Here, many people are going to be religious. "Lord, we taught Sunday school. We went on mission trips. We sang in the choir. We cast out devils." And I think I told you this before. I've only seen, I think, 3 times demons cast out of people. That's something that doesn't happen every day. These people here say, "Lord, we cast demons out of people," and then it says, "and did many wonderful works." God, we fed the poor. When the community was having the soup lines, we were there. When the disaster happened, we helped people find shelter, and we fed the poor and the hungry, and we were in the hospital, and we did many. Look at this list. Many people on Judgment Day are going to be standing before God saying, "Lord, surely I thought I was saved. Surely I thought I had earned my way to heaven. I had preached. I had cast out demons. I've done many. Lord, surely." And the misunderstanding and this tragedy, these people are deceived. Many. It's not a crowd with a few thinking this way. Many will say to me in that day. And then look at verse 23, listen what many will hear. "And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." What a sadness. I think I've told you before, I think one of the tragedies of Islam is you picture those guys after their brainwashing and they're told, if you'll drive that plane into the tower, then as soon as the impact happens, it'll probably hurt, but you'll wake up in paradise with, you know, 21 virgins and all this other garbage. And can you imagine the sweats pouring off them and they're Allah Akbar, Allah Akbar, Allah Akbar, Allah Akbar. And then the burning in hell begins. And the thought this way, I was lied to. I was deceived. And their eternity begins. The deception. That's the devil's, that's what the devil's main job is he deceives. He gets you thinking things that aren't true. He is a master liar. He's a murderer. And if he can get you to think that you're saved, when really you're not, many will say to me in that day, I think of that. Jesus taught us that there are going to be many religious people in hell, and that concerns me and it breaks my heart. These people didn't hate God. They didn't fight God. They were deceived. On July, listen closely, on July 4th, 2014, listen, Pope Francis said, "It is a dangerous temptation to believe that one can have a personal, direct, immediate relationship with Jesus Christ without communion and without the mediation of the church." That's what the Catholic Church teaches. You have to take communion, you have to do the seven sacraments, go through confirmation, and you can't get saved unless you're in the church. And of course they have venial sins and stuff like that. That's what they teach. That's deception. What do you mean you can't? He is saying, you know why? Because the Catholic Church wants to control. That's why he's the Pope. He wants to call the shots. Oh, you can't get saved without me. You need my authority. You need the authority of the church. Isn't that sad? Do you know how many Catholics? I mean, he was just here just a month ago or something up in Washington, D.C. I mean, oh, he's here. He's here. He said that last year. You cannot have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ without communion and without the mediation of the church. That is so sad when Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Nobody. Nobody gets to God. And Jesus is the only way. I love that. I don't speak Spanish, but Jesucristo solamente. Amen? Only Jesus. All right? That's what it takes to get saved. Don't ask me any more Spanish questions. Don't do that. Okay? 1 Timothy chapter 2 says this. There's one God and one mediator between God and man. The man, Christ Jesus. There's only one go-between. There's only one person I got to go to get to God. And that's the Lord Jesus. It's not the church. It's not any other ritual. It's not works. John 17:3 says this. Listen, this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Nothing in there about communion. Nothing in there about the church. Salvation is a decision that produces immediate results. Salvation is not a process. That's what the Catholics teach. Some Protestants teach it. They teach that if you'll start the sacrament process, that you'll eventually reach 100%. I'm so glad Jesus saved me instantly when He saved me. Amen. I'm so glad I'm not 75%, 30%, 20%. And I'm glad it doesn't do this. Amen. I'm glad. It doesn't matter how many times you teach that salvation is never of works. It always comes back again and again because it's the devil's cheap deception. It's the one he uses the most. You'll find salvation by works only in the logic of the mind in every cult in history. But it is found nowhere in the Word of God. The Word of God is specific on what to do with any teaching, radio station, internet site, church, or anything that teaches work salvation. Would you take your Bible and go to Galatians chapter 1? Galatians chapter 1. We were in Galatians chapter 2 at the start of the service. Galatians chapter 1. I'm going to read Romans 1:16. "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it," the gospel, "is the power of God unto salvation, to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Whatever the gospel is, that is the power of God that gets people saved. What is the gospel? I've asked people, I'm amazed how many people don't know what the gospel is. What's the gospel? And I heard one person say, the life of Christ. It's kind of like when you ask the kids, what'd you learn in Sunday school? Jesus. More specific, okay? What's the gospel? What's the gospel? The gospel is, 1 Corinthians 15, that Jesus died according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again according to the Scriptures. That, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ is the gospel, and that is the power of God that gets people saved. Now, God says here, watch this, in Galatians chapter 1, look at verse 6. Watch this. I marvel that ye are so soon removed from Him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another. There's no such thing as many gospels. There's not a gospel according to the Catholic Church, and the gospel according to the Baptist Church, and the gospel according to the Lutherans. He said there's not another. There's only one gospel. And He says here in verse 7, He says, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Let him be damned. That's what the word accursed means. Let him be damned to hell. If anybody, he says, I led you to Christ, I started the church here, and he's talking to the churches in Galatia. He said, if I come into the church, and he said, and I change what I've taught you, let me be damned. That's what it says. If we or any other person teach any other thing, let him be accursed. And just in case you miss it, he says it again the second time. Look at the next verse. As we said there before, so say I now again. If any man preach any other gospel unto you than that you have received, the death, burial, and resurrection, let him be accursed or damned. That tells me this. That's why somebody said, that's why I really wish Christians would wake up. Oh, if it's religious, don't criticize it. Wait a second. God criticizes it if they don't preach the right gospel. God says they're damned to hell if they preach another gospel. That statement that the Pope made, it's impossible to have a relationship with Jesus without communion and without the church. God says he's cursed. He preached another gospel. He told you it takes communion and the church to get saved. You're speaking against the Pope. Wait a second. He went against the Bible. That's all I'm pointing out to you. And somebody said, no, don't. Anything that calls itself Christian is good. Wait a second. That's nowhere found in the Bible. You're supposed to weigh everything by that book. If they speak not according to this book, Isaiah 8:20, it is because there is no light in them. This is the determiner of right and wrong. This is what determines righteousness from sin. This is also what tells you truth from error. And I know for some this may be heavy, but just listen closely. People for thousands of years have condemned the teaching that salvation is only by grace and not of works. And they say, if you teach people that, you can't teach people that if you'll only trust Jesus, that saves you forever and you'll never go to hell, because then they won't live right. You have to teach people that they're saved by living a good life and coming to church and getting baptized and reading their Bible, that that's what gets them to heaven. Then everybody in the community will be living right so that they can get to heaven. That has never worked. Not one time in any society has that ever worked. In thousands of years. History proves that wherever a work salvation is taught, vice, murder, decadence, corruption, immorality, and living after the flesh always follow. History has proven that where salvation by grace, you're saved only by trusting Jesus through the faith in the shed blood of the Lord Jesus. Wherever that's taught, that holiness and loving God are much more prevalent. You say, I don't believe you, preacher. I think you ought to teach people that if they're it seems like if you would teach people that you get to heaven by living right, that more people would live right. If that was true, listen closely. One of the biggest works religions, one of the biggest, is Islam. Islam. Listen closely. There's a reason Arabia is the largest sex trafficking nation in the world. That's because they're Muslim. Do you understand? Decadence and murder and immorality reign wherever that doctrine is taught. You earn your way to heaven by your good works. Anywhere that's taught, that corrupts a society. Ask our soldiers that come back from war over there. You can ask Brother Wally. You can ask them. The statement over there in the Middle East, in all Islamic countries, is this: women are for children, boys are for love. Pedophilia is rampant over there. It is. We're the only dum-dums in the West that don't know that. If you doubt me, look up Muhammad's 22 wives. You know, the Quran in Surah 4:3 says a Muslim's only allowed to have four wives. But you know, because Muhammad wrote it, he put an exception for himself. You know, because he wanted 22 wives. Look up wife number 3. Her name's Aisha. He consummated the marriage when she was 8. When she was 8. Do you know why? Because Muhammad's a pedophile. That's why. That's why most the 1040 window, anything involved in Islam, is corrupt. It is so sick and vile and blasphemous, you cannot imagine. Ask our soldiers that are coming back. Their frustration is this: why are we teaching them their tactics? That is a horrible society over there. The only ruler Islam allows is a dictatorship. For us to try to give them a constitution, we need to send them missionaries first. You cannot have a democracy in a Muslim country. It won't exist. It was a waste of our time. In other words, we went at it backwards. We tried to give them the politics without giving them the religion. And now we'll, you know, who knows how many billions that we spent on it that we wasted. All I'm trying to tell you this morning, you say, that's Muslim. Listen closely. Any society that teaches you're saved by works promotes immorality, flesh, decadence, immorality, vice, murder. You say, are you sure? Listen closely. There's a reason that the Middle Ages are called the Dark Ages. Do you know why? Because that's the devil's millennium. Who was ruling the world at that time? Catholic Church. Ignorance was at a prime, right? Yes. Plagues, famine. The famine was so bad during the Dark Ages. You read any book, any of it, the vile immorality. First they were in Rome, then the Catholics moved their headquarters over to France, and of course it's now back in Rome again. And you do the whole study on that. Why is the Middle Ages called the Dark Ages, where people lived in total ignorance? Because they taught salvation is by how you live. And it produces a society that is awful, and it does not go anywhere. And you say, are you sure, Pastor? Okay, I'll make one more statement. I'm as right as rain on this. But just think with me, please. I'm not here to bash any. I'm trying to drive a point home this morning, okay? I'm not here to bash anybody, but can you name a mafia member to me that's not Catholic? Hey, Charlie, so sorry. Gonna go tell mommy about that. I put him in cement shoes down there under the road. You know what I'm talking about? Name a mafia underground member that wasn't Catholic. And you might find one or two, but you'll search long and hard. There's a reason. Do you know why? Because they're taught your salvation is based on how you live. I ain't been too bad this week. I only waxed 2 guys. So I'm going to go to confession there and tell them all about it. It'll be all right. Mama, get me off. Okay, I'm done. I'll move on. Ready? I'll move on. A work salvation does not help people live right. It increases doubt because they're doing what they're doing out of fear. They're driven by the fear of going to hell. You can't do that. Take your Bible. I'd like you to see this. 1 John chapter 4. It's back near Revelation. 1 John chapter 4. Look at verse number 17. 1 John chapter 4. The name of my sermon this morning is The Crime of Teaching Salvation by Works. The crime of those who teach that when they stand before God. 1 John chapter 4. Look at verse number 17. 1 John 4:17. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as He is, so are we in this world. Look at verse 18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear. Because, watch, fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love Him because He first loved us. God plainly says you can't lead people, you can't grow people, scaring them to live right. You better do right or you'll go back to hell. You can't do that. Perfect love. Love is not perfected there. You can't grow that way. If everything they... That's why they're doing what they do, because it's out of fear. Well, yeah, I go to church, because if I don't, I'll go to hell. Well, yeah, I got baptized, because if I don't, I'll go to hell. They're not... God says, you want to read the main reason we love Him? It's because He first loved me. That motivates love. And Jesus proved... Hitler proved you can lead people with fear and hatred for about 4 years. Jesus proved you can lead them for eternity with love. You lead the example. We love Him because He first loved us. It's totally opposite. You see, when you proclaim salvation by grace, through faith, people are saved and the Lord can begin to work in their heart and change their life. You see, the heart uses works to justify sin. You say, I don't understand. How can you teach people that if you live right to get to heaven, how come it doesn't make a better society? Because of our wicked heart. We say this, my good works are here, and I haven't killed anybody or robbed a bank or sold drugs to kids. So look at all the room that I have to do wrong, and still I have more good works. That's how our wicked hearts think. We weigh it out. Well, I haven't done anything really bad, so I could do something a little bad, and it'll be okay. It justifies sin. It takes wrong and says, I can do a little more because I haven't done that much. Our heart is that wicked. This is why work salvation and teaching people that you're saved by how you live is so evil. It makes light of sin. Self-righteousness and self-justification it's so natural for our fallen nature. All false religions, every one of them, appeal to the flesh. They flatter you by telling you that you can be good enough to get saved. They temporarily make you feel good about yourself. If you go to church, pray, get baptized, help enough people, feed enough hungry people. You know what the Pope told them before they went on the Crusades? If you'll go fight and win Jerusalem back. This is in 1099 when he did that. He said, if anybody who fights on the Crusade and will go fight Muslims in Jerusalem, you'll get a free ticket to heaven. That was promised twice. That's a lie out of hell. Do you understand? That is a lie out of hell. And it promoted some of the... You study the Crusades, and if you ever want to look at it, I'll cover it with you sometime when we're teaching on Baptist history. It was one of the vilest things that's ever happened in human history. They were eating people. The Catholics were eating people. It was one of the most disgusting things. Why? Because if you win the Crusades, you win a free ticket to heaven. What a horrible thing to tell somebody. What a horrible thing to tell somebody. If you will do this, if you will do this, say what you want to, but the fleshly religion of natural and fallen man is a salvation by works or what you can do. This false teaching is encouraged by ignorance. ignorance of the holiness of God. Most people say, I haven't sinned that bad. Others have sinned more than me. I'm not really that bad, you know. No one's perfect. My Bible says in John 6:47, as it is written in the prophets, they shall be all taught of God. Listen, every man that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. Jesus said, if you knew how holy He was, if you knew how much He hated sin, you'd run to me because I'm the only one that shed my blood for you on the cross. I'm the only one that can make you clean. If you really knew how God judges sin, you'd run to me. He said, every man that's taught of God comes to the Son. Why? Because of God's holiness. God's holiness. James chapter 2, I'd like you, well, just listen, we're running out of time, and I told you I'd watch the clock. James chapter 2, verse 10, listen, whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he's guilty of all. Listen closely. You mean you think you can be saved by keeping the law that you've broken? Well, I only broke one. Did you hear what I read? Jesus said, if you break one of the commandments, you've broken the whole thing. So you really think that if you live right enough, by the law that you've broken, you can earn? That's impossible. It's scripturally impossible. What greatly aids this deception is our pride. Men's pride cannot stand to be saved by God's mercy. To throw himself as a law-breaking criminal at the foot of the throne of the King, you're right. It's humbling to say, I've sinned, I've broken God's laws, I have no hope of saving myself, Jesus saved me. You're right, that's humbling. And I have to admit, you mean nothing I do can save me? You mean all the... I've helped people. I stopped and helped a guy put on his tire in the rain, you know. I fed some poor people. You mean none of that even helps? None of it even helps. It's humbling. And man's heart, our pride. I've had people I've given the gospel to, and I say, would you now simply trust Jesus as your Savior? I don't need that. I'm good enough. That's pride. That's pride. I'd have to admit that I can't do anything to earn my way to heaven. You're right. You're right. You'd have to admit you can't do anything. Romans 3:20 says, therefore by the deeds of the law there shall no flesh be justified in His sight. Most people think well of themselves because they've never thought seriously. They ignore the plea of the Holy Ghost that our heart is desperately wicked, that there's none righteous, no, not one, and that all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way, and all of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. Salvation by works develops such an intense selfishness. You think about it. When someone feels they can be good enough to get to heaven, they're amazed that they've grown to be so good. I asked one lady yesterday while we were out sowing. I said, what do you believe someone has to do to go to heaven? Oh, live right. My son was with me. I said, are you good enough to get to heaven? She said, oh, yes. I mean, she didn't pause. I said, so you're good enough to get to heaven? Oh, yes. I have to go now. Bye-bye. I felt sorry for her. Then, you know, I felt sorry for her. Have you ever taken that thinking all the way to the end? To where when she dies and she stands before God, this is going to be her plea. God, you owe me heaven because I was so good. Are you kidding me? God says, I don't owe you anything. You broke my laws. I didn't break yours. I owe you nothing. You owe me. The wages of sin is death. Pay up. You realize somebody who says, but I live by the law and I tried to do right. God says, then what you're asking for is justice, not mercy. You're asking for justice. You don't want grace. You don't want mercy. You want the end of the law carried out. So be it. And that's why people die and go to hell. That's why people die and go to hell. Our text this morning holds two offenses that are committed when someone believes this. Can I just show them to you? You're there, and can you go back to Galatians, and we'll stay there. Ready? Galatians chapter 2. I'm almost done. Just hold on. If you're here this morning, I hope two things are happening. One, if you're lost, I hope it's simple for you to see how easy it is to get saved. Number two, I hope you got people's faces in your mind right now that you've heard say you got to live right to go to heaven. And I hope your heart breaks for them. It's not another way of getting to heaven. There's only one way. There's not another salvation. If they don't trust Jesus as their Savior, they're going to die and go to hell and fry like a sausage for eternity. Look at Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. Verse 21. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. Two offenses. Anyone who thinks he's saved by his own righteousness frustrates the grace of God, or refuses God's grace, or they reject God's grace because they think it's needless. What do you mean I need God's grace? Jesus died on the cross? I can get it myself. If righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead for nothing. If you could earn it, then why did He die? He died because there's nothing you can do. There's nothing you can do. So He did it all. The person is saying, I don't need God's grace. I deserve heaven because God owes me. If it was possible to earn your own salvation, then you could naturally have the honor of it and rob God of His glory too. Well, I know Jesus died for me, but come on now, I had a small part in it. I saved me. That makes you your own Savior. That makes you your own Savior. Listen closely. This false thinking makes the grace of God needless. It frustrates the grace of God. You're either saved because you deserve it, or God graciously gave it to you. And I got news for you. You don't deserve it. Nobody does. Right? There's another false theory that says, I work as hard as I can, and then God's grace comes in second place and makes up for the rest. You know how many people believe that? I work as hard as I can. I know Jesus died on the cross, but I work hard, and my works plus Jesus' death on the cross is what's going to get me to heaven. That'll send you to hell too. There's a wonderful formula. It goes like this. Are you ready? This is something everybody can remember. Ready? Jesus plus nothing equals heaven. Jesus plus anything equals hell. That's pretty simple, isn't it? You're either trusting Jesus and Him only, or you're lost. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. It is unscriptural thinking because you do become your own Savior. You may not mean this, but if you believe that, it makes Jesus' work on the cross incomplete. It makes Jesus' work on the cross unable to save until you add your works to it. Wait a second. Jesus said, "It is finished," when He died. And then He bowed His head and gave up the ghost. Wait a second. He said, "It's done. Tetelestai." It's what the painter says when he made his last stroke of the brush. It's what the general said when the last shot is fired. It is finished. Completed. Nothing more to be done. It's what the farmer said after he's planted and raised and harvested and the last grain is harvested, and he said, "It is finished." Same thing. It's complete. No more. You can't add any more to it. Glory to God. What do you mean His dying on the cross wasn't enough for you? What do you mean you got to add something to it? That's like saying He's incompetent. He wasn't incompetent. Right. Well, you know, the Lord did a lot when He died on the cross, but I really think He went too far. He didn't have to do all that. Are you crazy? You mean He was foolish? No, He wasn't.
No, he wasn't. Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, and He washed it white as snow. White as snow. Almost done. Satan wants to frustrate the grace of God by mixing works and grace. Then, whoever holds to that teaching dies and goes to hell. The first crime of salvation by good works is frustrating the grace of God. Please don't frustrate God's grace by thinking you can be saved by your own works. This is a crime the heathen cannot commit. They've never heard it. This is a crime that the devils cannot commit. They're guilty of rebellion against God, not rejecting God's grace. Anybody who believes you're saved by your own works will have the deepest hell for making null and useless and void the grace of God. The second crime this morning is, and I know you've already heard me say it, but it makes Jesus Christ's death on the cross for nothing. Can I just ask you this minute? What can you do that can compare to what Jesus did for you on the cross? How many people are you going to help? How many poor are you going to feed? How many homeless are you going to help? What can you do that matches anything He did on the cross? Everything comes short. And to think that I could even add to it. I love this. O thou bleeding Lamb of God, the fact that you came to this earth and limited yourself to our human nature is absolutely amazing. But thy death upon that accursed tree is such a miracle of mercy that it fills all heaven with astonishment. The angels peer into it and they say, what's he doing down there? He's saving it. Angels can't get saved. Only we can get saved. Only we're the ones that can choose. Would anyone dare to say that God was generous but that He didn't have to go that far? If the blood of Christ is not able to save and needs the help of man's works to save, then Jesus' cry on the cross, "It is finished," was a lie and a mistake. And I got news for you. Praise God, it wasn't. Just listen to these two verses. Wherefore He is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by Him. You know how much I'm saved this morning? I'm so saved, I can't get any more saved. Amen? I'm saved to the uttermost. I'm totally saved. All right? I'm saved to the uttermost. I love this statement, Hebrews 10:14, "For by one offering He hath perfected forever them that are sanctified." I'm perfected forever. It is blasphemy to believe that anyone is saved by their good works because it makes Christ's death on the cross needless and a useless offering of Himself. If you believe you're saved by your good works, then you make all of heaven shut up. You say, are you sure? In Revelation 1:5 it says, "The song they sing in heaven is unto Him that loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and His Father. To Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." If you really believe you're saved by your own good works, you know the song, you change it? You say, "Hush, angels, that's not true." I got a better song. My song goes this way. "Unto us who kept our garments clean, to us be glory forever and ever." Or maybe they even say this. "Unto us be glory forever and ever because our good deeds have made the work of Jesus on the cross complete." That's blasphemy. Do you see the fallacy this morning? The crime of believing that you're saved by your good works. That's why people die and go to hell. Because they've put their trust in themselves and not in what Jesus did for them. All false religions are titled by what do they teach you have to do to be saved. Most churches look to control people. Well, you want to go to heaven, don't you? Well, you better keep coming to church. I'm so glad we don't teach that here. Amen? Well, if you better keep living right. You'll go to hell. God doesn't teach that. God doesn't teach that. It's nowhere found in the Scripture.
There is eternal forgiveness available. You can be made clean this morning by repenting, changing your mind, and changing what you believe. Amen. Your faith must be in the blood of Christ. God says this, and then we're all done. Whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past. You say, what do I got to trust, preacher? You put your trust in the Lord Jesus and the blood He shed for you. It is that faith. I'm not going to trust my works. I can't do anything to earn it. And Lord Jesus, I put my trust in You. That is salvation. Remember, Jesus plus nothing equals heaven. Jesus plus anything equals hell. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. The sin of believing that you're saved by good works. Let's pray. Father, please.